This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
Elegance is the new black, baby. You heard it here first. It's an all-new episode of Project Runway, season 17, episode 7. Let's do it.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
AfterBuzz TV. What is up, guys? Project Runway, season 17, episode 7. I'm your host, Jessica O'Connor, and this is my lovely co-host. I have to do it.
Simone Thomas. Hi, guys. Nice to be back.
Wow, it was an exciting episode. We're getting down to it, the top 10. But before we dive into episode 7, I have such exciting news to share, guys. We have a contestant that's a fan of the show, the lovely Sonia, tuned in last week. Get a load of that beauty. And, you know, last week we were talking a little bit about her influence in surf fashion, and she actually commented and emailed us and gave us a little more info. Yep. So, for some background, she's the one who came up and fought for the board short with a major surf company, and the surf company was Quiksilver, and the board short was the Roxy board short, and it did get produced. Through Roxy, it helped shape and change the narrative at the time, and was the poster of the reef girl and her thong. You know, that was what everyone was used to seeing. But Roxy Pro helps sponsor and celebrate women surfers like Lisa Anderson. And yeah, so Sonia had a big, you know, hand in changing surf culture and, you know, getting it away from being so sexualized and making it a lot more practical. So yeah, we have a lot to thank for Sonia. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Sonia, for tuning in and giving us this great bit of information. Now we have so much more clarity, and we're so excited that you're a fan of the show.
And we're also excited to have you on the show, because that will happen.
Yes, and we're working on it, guys. And I'm so excited that so many of the contestants are interested. So stay tuned, because we're going to have some really exciting guests in the future.
For sure.
Dun, 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 dun. All right, but let's get into the top 10. So the challenge this week, they were greeted by a doorman who came a knock-in, and he had a very fancy place card. He invited all the contestants to dress to impress, and they're going to have a little champagne and caviar party. So they walk in, and Carly and Brandon are just like
posing away,
voguing away, having their... They were, like, in their
top
element.
Models. Yeah. Carly definitely was. I mean, she's a supermodel.
She made it look so effortless.
Yeah.
Her frame, like, that is... I mean, obviously, like, we know she's a genius computer coder, but that's just what she was born to do. The way she moved was so effortlessly. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I was super impressed. And Brandon, too. Mm-hmm. I was kind of surprised at how much he was, like, owning the camera, too. Yeah. Because, obviously, he's from the design background. Right. But He stepped up in it, and he was ready to go.
He was posing along with her. She makes it look very easy, because even when I take pictures, I'm like, just be a top model. But it's hard to do that. And then when you watch them, it looks seamless. Like, it's effortless, and it's really not.
Knowing your angles is a real thing.
Yeah. It takes, like, you have to know your body without looking at yourself in a mirror, which takes a lot of skill.
Here's a model pro tip, because we'll get into this later in the episode, but I do have a little modeling background. So, guys, if you want to ever avoid the double chin in pictures, stick your neck out and then your chin down and then tongue on the roof of your mouth. Look at the difference. So, like, here's just, like, normal neck and then,
Oh, wow.
You see?
Okay, I look crazy. I can't even do that.
Little Project Runway model tip of the
I'll
day
I'll have to
for
practice
you.
In the mirror because I'm like...
Work on it. Seriously, it helps. But anyways, back to it. We're in the top 10 now. And the challenge was Elegance is the New Black.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be confused with Orange is the New Black. Which I'm not even sure if that's still a thing.
They just wrapped. Yeah, if this last season hasn't happened, it's the last season.
Regardless, I caught the reference. Yeah. I see what they did there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and we're, like, really getting down to it. What was your...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Your first thought with this challenge?
Well, I was really excited because out of all the challenges, I would say I identify with this one the most. My style is pretty elegant and classic and simple, mm-hmm. So I really connect with pieces like that, like people like a Meghan Markle who chooses very clean and even down to her wedding dress that was very simple, or like a Michelle Obama. I love elegant styling that is complete.
Those are your style icons.
Yeah, that's me. And even Rihanna, she's bold, but when she does elegant pieces, those are actually my favorite looks on her. So I was very excited about this.
Oh my gosh. See, yeah, I would not classify my style as elegant at all, but I love the look of it. So I was super excited too. I feel like I'm much more like glitzy out there, boho. Mm-hmm. Boho glam,
boho
I guess.
Glam.
I could say, but
nice little hybrid.
Yeah, and so we're looking at these gorgeous clear Brandon Maxwell bags, and they all had these unique, little doodads, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call them. You know, there was a statue, there was orchids, there was, you know, DJ headphones. They had these random objects, and then they had to kind of spin their design from there. It was like, this is your starting point, now build a garment.
Exactly.
So, Tessa found herself in some hot water because she was one of the last ones to get her pick at the clear bag. And the judges were like, oh, are you nervous? You know, you're down to the last couple options. And she said, well, I don't really care about the bag so much as the models. Wow. That was a bold move. What was your first thought when she said that?
I was offended for the models, and I'm not even in their shoes. That is completely disrespectful, and you do not speak about people like that, especially because this is their career just as much as it is yours. And
preach.
That's insensitive. And as a designer, you should have the abilities to design for all body types. And that speaks better for your skill set when you can do that, because you show that you're not pigeonholed to only a certain type of body. You can cater to everyone.
Yeah, Brandon Maxwell was absolutely not having that.
It was
comment.
Rude.
He
it was very
snapped,
rude.
And I'm glad because the models weren't there to stand up for himself. So I'm glad that he could be the representative and he could be their voice, because he said, as a designer, it's your job to make a woman feel good.
Yes.
Not just look good, but
feel good. That's what fashion is about. Like, you feel your best when you look your best.
Yep.
And saying something like that, how is someone supposed to feel good about themselves?
And how is your model going to feel confident going into it when she knows the designer doesn't have her back and
exactly.
doesn't want to work with her?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, models are people. They can pick up on these things. And just because she's a curvy model, like, doesn't...
And also, isn't she aware of the lack of body diversity we've seen in the past and how fashion is trying to fix that? Like, why aren't you trying to adapt to the way times are changing?
Well, absolutely. I have a background in modeling. I did it when I was a little kid, and I did, like, commercial print stuff and a little bit of TV, this and that. And obviously, I stopped for, you know, like, my preteen early teenage years because your body's changing, and I was projected to be like 6 feet tall. Didn't happen.
Oh, wow.
But so I wasn't as tall as I was supposed to be, so I kind of went more down the commercial print route, and I'm not a, you know, curvy model. I'm a size 4, but I do have a curvier body, and that's held me back in a lot of professional situations. Mm-hmm. I've had people that I've been, you know, kicked out of the room just because I you know, have a bigger chest than some people, or I have hips, or I have this, or I have that. And that's, like, a real thing. And it sucks. It sucks when, you know, even in 2019, like, that still happens. Yep. And, you know, for me, I've had the most success in, like, swimwear and, you know, things like that, more, like, commercial stuff. Mm-hmm. But this girl had a chance to walk down a runway, which is something I've never had the opportunity to do. And for me to see her speak to her like that, I'm like, this is like...
Or speak about her like that.
Yeah.
Thank goodness she didn't say it to her face.
This is such a rare opportunity. And I was a little... Even Garo, who had her and made her look beautiful, referred to her as the model everyone is afraid to have.
And
guys!
Yeah. But the difference between Garo and Tessa was... Garo wasn't intimidated by that. And yes, maybe he's more used to designing clothes for plus size models, but he even recognized that she was being rude. So clearly, and she, I feel like
part of... She got a little big for her britches.
Yeah. And she knew she was wrong when Brandon Maxwell said something.
Right.
So it wasn't like the minute she said it, she regretted it. It's only because she was scolded, and that's why I feel like she cared more, because she didn't want the judges to look at her differently.
It wasn't like a word vomit. It wasn't like a, it was like a, oh, they don't like that.
So I shouldn't have said it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't like it at all. That was rude.
I know. I hope that it was just a lapse, a brain lapse, and not a definition of character. But I guess we'll just have to see.
SMH.
Moving on. The contestants were given $400, 2-day challenge, and it's a flash sale challenge. So, more money to spend,
woo-hoo,
more time to design,
woo-hoo,
opportunity to make some money. This is all going in their
favor. The
best
challenge you can have.
All right, so now we kind of get into the designers' inspirations and things that they were, you know, kind of drawing upon for this week. Sebastian, we got to talk to a little bit today. He's kind of fallen in the back for the past couple episodes. Yeah. He talked about how he misses Colombia, and he drew upon Colombia's, you know, wide variety of orchids, and how he misses Colombia so much, but it's not an option for him to go back. Yeah. And he tried to open a store twice, and he failed. And I think it's interesting that he's actually experiencing more success in America, don't you?
I don't know. Well, because I don't know what the fashion market is like in Colombia, right, so I can't speak on that. But clearly, it's a lot more challenging since he said he had a store twice.
Yeah, and so both failed.
Yeah, so clearly he wasn't just sitting on his butt doing nothing. He was putting in the work, and just the return wasn't to his liking. But I think it's impressive that he's only been here for 2 years and has had the success that he's
already on Project Runway.
Shown. Exactly.
In the top 10.
On a publicized, like, show that's on national television and one of the best contestants, if you ask me. So I was really excited for him and to talk about that experience, because it's challenging to be away from home. Like he said, my country. And just imagine if we were in that position, if we're in a different country.
I mean, imagine if you moved to Colombia and 2 years from now you're on Colombia's Project Runway. It's the same thing. It's like a
bittersweet.
Crazy thought.
Yeah, it's bittersweet because you're getting an opportunity that most people would never get, but you also can't celebrate that in the place that you call home.
Hopefully his family and friends, and maybe some fans, maybe there's some Colombian fans watching, hopefully you guys are able to cheer him on internationally, because I know he would appreciate the support.
Yes, he would.
And then Venny had another comment that I really liked. He said, there's enough darkness in the world. I like to bring positivity in the clothes I make. And that just, like, really resonated with me. It kind of reminded me of, like, Tan from Queer Eye. He always talks about how, like, whatever clothes you put on is how you choose to represent yourself to the world. And it's so true, because, like, you know, if you're kind of having a bad day, you might, like, throw on a hoodie or some sweatpants. And, yeah, like what you were saying earlier, like, look good, feel good. Mm-hmm. I definitely believe in all that, too.
Yeah, what you put out is kind of like what you internalize. So,
and what you get back,
exactly,
too.
Yeah, it's all, like, cyclical. And I think your clothes are a big part of that. And why not show, like you said, like, your vibes, your energy is reflected through your facial expressions, the clothes you wear, the colors that you put on your body.
Yeah.
And I like that he wants to bring out positivity in his clothes.
And it exudes from the way he talks, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you could tell he's just, like, a positive, happy guy.
Yeah, spunky, bubbly person.
And it comes through in his clothing. Yeah, I'm a Venny fan. Same. I like Venny a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, designing aside, they got back. They had a break because it's a two-day challenge. And, you know, back at the house, everyone's drinking a little wine, getting to relax. And then we found Sonia, Garo, and Jamal kind of, like, huddled up. And, you know, a big theme of the episode was how Jamal is really starting to find himself as a designer. And he was talking with Sonia and Garo, who are kind of more veterans in the industry, and how they, you know, developed their individual styles and stuff. And they kind of got into the debate of corporate fashion versus individual clients. If you were a designer, which way do you think you would go?
I feel like corporate fashion is probably a lot more stable, and you know that you have a job, you're going to get a steady paycheck, where, so that's nice, but you're probably restricted in the creativity and the freedom that you have with your designs. Whereas if it's all you and your brand, the options are limitless, and you kind of carve the direction that you want to make. So it's hard. I think it's just like a person-to-person basis, and I don't even know what I would want to do. Like, honestly, like a hybrid would be the best, but I don't even know if that exists.
Yeah.
So it's tricky.
Yeah, I'm curious if any of you guys watching have had an experience in corporate fashion. I'm genuinely, I don't think you do either. I'm genuinely curious the amount of influence you actually get in the design. You know, if you work for a company like PacSun or something, you know, how much of your ideas actually put into the PacSun clothes that you see on the rack. I think that would be really interesting. So if anybody has an experience in corporate fashion, I would really like to hear from you.
Let us know.
And I think individual and clientele is kind of the future.
It is, yeah.
Because, you know, there's so many platforms now for designers, like Etsy, Instagram, Facebook. There's so many social platforms for fashion designers to just create their own business. I know I've used Etsy before.
I've bought a lot of people
from, you know, designers personally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and Sonia talked about how she got to design dresses for an individual client, and then I know Garo designs for a lot of drag queens, like a lot of people who come off RuPaul's Drag Race. The stuff you see on there, he's designed.
Oh wow!
So he,
that's awesome.
Yeah, he has like a really cool kind of individual clientele as well, and that's cool that like he found his niche through individual clients.
Yeah, I think with the way just social media has changed so many industries, you can blow up very unconventionally and blow up super fast.
Yeah.
So with having a show like Project Runway in conjunction to their Instagram accounts, these...
Yeah, you contestants need to use Instagram to your advantage.
Which I'm sure they are. I'm sure they're doing that. So whether they win or not, their brands and their reputation...
Let it grow, let it flow.
It's going to skyrocket.
Yeah. And that, now there's features for fashion, especially where you can click and it shows you the price. You can, like, swipe up, buy it that easy. It's all the tools are in place for these people
for
to go
success.
Individual. So it's interesting. I'm interested for the future of fashion. I think maybe corporate fashion should be a little worried. Okay, so now we're getting into, you know, the final hour. We're in the workroom. Hester's trying to pull off some elegant pasties.
Yeah.
Huh, okay. So that leads me to my question. Can sexy be elegant, or are they two separate entities?
Can sexy be elegant? But okay, I like that question. But before I answer that, I just want to let you guys know, thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. We really appreciate it. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe. And then if you're listening to us on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating. And of course, on both platforms, comment, comment, comment. We love talking to you guys, and we love being here every single day. After Buzz has meant a lot to us, and we hope it means a lot to you guys. So thank you. But can sexy be elegant?
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
You think so?
Yes. And it could just be by having a simple slit, or it can just be having, like, a very... you know, simple dress, but the back being out. You don't have to do a whole bunch of things for something to be sexy. And that's actually what I love about elegance. It's like very little can make a large statement, and you can do that. And you can get that across by being sexy. They're not mutually exclusive.
You think elegance can be sexy?
Yes, completely.
I don't know.
Really?
Okay, this is a very specific example, but... something that haunts me. We were just talking about Vanderpump Rules earlier. Yeah. Sheena, sorry, Sheena, if you're watching, but she wore a crop top wedding dress.
How did it look?
Not elegant. And that, I feel like a wedding day is especially the one day. Because I like to be sexy. I think my style is sexy. I like slits. I like cuts. I like crop tops. I'm into all that. I like mini skirts. Like, I'm very into the sexy style. But I think my wedding day, I'm probably going to suck it up and be elegant.
Elegant. Well, the thing about it is the wedding dress industry has changed a little bit because the two-piece dress is a trend now. Ooh. So that I...
On a wedding day?
Yeah, I mean...
What do you guys think? A crop top on a wedding day?
It is your day, though. So you can make it your own and honestly do whatever the heck you want to do. So if you don't want to be elegant... Then you can be a little riskier and wear something with your stomach showing. People do have wedding dresses with, like, a lot of cleavage or their back showing. It's just a stomach. Would I do that?
But would probably you say that not. Looks elegant?
I would have to see it. That's the only thing. I don't know what it looks like. So, because I don't think your stomach showing lacks elegance. It's just how it's executed.
Right.
So I need to see
I agree.
It looks like.
I can agree with that because I agree with what you're saying. I think a backless dress, like, on a red carpet or something, that can be really elegant. I think a nice slit can be really elegant. I guess it depends on the cut.
The cut, the style. Even the collarbone. Brandon Maxwell said it. He was like, I love a nice collarbone. Yeah, and they say that collarbones actually turn guys on or, like, shoulders.
Oh, is that so?
I remember reading a Cosmo
in that case.
Article and shoulders kind of, like, like mimic or mirror like breasts or like your chest.
I could see that a little
because they're rounded.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And the clavicle area is sexy.
Well, that's the debate, I guess. Elegance, can it be sexy?
Yeah,
we have a lot of debate going on today, and hopefully you guys chime in the comments.
Let us know, please.
So there was a minor disaster to Venny. His zipper came off.
I know. Oof.
But he played it off. Played it cool.
He did.
Cool, calm, collected. Yep. But that is a little stressful because that means the dress had to stay as is.
Yes.
He could have been in a little scary situation there.
Right. But he handled it really well, and I couldn't even tell that the zipper, there was
the
a zipper mishap.
Cool.
Yeah.
They
didn't fall apart. Team. And it was nice that someone helped him at the towards the end. I don't remember who it was.
They're always good about that.
And Christian was like, we didn't do that in my season. But this group is very, they're very close and supportive.
They are.
Even though it's a competition.
They are. They are buddies.
So I like that.
They're good buddies. Okay, let's get into our tops and bottoms of the week.
Yes.
Who's your top? Who's your bottom?
My top was Layla. I wanted it to win so badly.
Me too.
It was just so pretty. I like the tissue paper.
Layla was my top as well.
So you're... Okay, we agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the tissue paper, a.k.a. Well,
the very expensive
the organza, a.k.a. toilet paper, was beautiful. The,
I agree. I thought it leveled the outfit up. I thought the plain black and white was very classic, very simple. But that, to me, is what made it elegant.
Right, because if you just had the shoulder thing, it would have just been a strapless gown that was black and white and had, like, a cross-stitching, and that was it. I think that made it more interesting. So I loved it.
And I think she's been a front runner the whole competition, but this was... I felt like it was her week. I was ready for her to, you know, secure that first win. I loved the hips, the accentuated hips, and I felt like her garment worked the best with her bag.
Yes,
I felt like it tied together the best.
It made sense because she said that's why she did the tissue thing, because she wanted to pay homage to
the Greek culture.
I
see what she did there. I feel like the judges did too, but I guess just not enough.
As much, yeah.
Who was your bottom this week?
I didn't really like Hester's outfit because, like we said, you can show skin and it can still be elegant.
Right.
Just because you show skin doesn't mean it's not elegant. But the way she did, like, constructed this piece with the pasties, it just looked kind of tacky to
me. I think it would have been cool if it, like, would have, like, if she could have had some fabric kind of, like, sweep in and, like, cover almost looking like fingers, you know? So it would give the illusion of, like, you know, the sexiness, the covering of the nipples. But I think, just like the two circles was really
And I liked what she was trying to do to try to change the
social norms
of
blah, 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 blah,
and whatnot. Yeah. But it did not translate. And then her gluing the pasties to
that was just like a little amateur hour. Like, yeah, she could have done better.
Jeez, that poor model.
She is better. She's a great designer. Oh, yeah. I mean, she had immunity. It was her week to go crazy.
That's the time to do it, if at any time.
But yeah, execution. Like the judges were saying, cool concept, poor execution. My bottom was actually Tessa. I felt like it kind of looked like ill-fitting knockoff Yeezy. Sorry, Tessa. I'm sorry if that was a little harsh, but it looked very like blankety to me, and the back was just so unflattering. Mm-hmm. And you know, she did have the challenge of dressing a curvy model, and that's probably something that should have been figured out by day one. You know, that exposed back maybe just isn't the best design choice for a curvier model.
Yeah, figure out what her assets are and highlight those things. Don't just cover them
up.
And
if you want to go for a sexy back, maybe like throw a mesh in or something so that her skin isn't so exposed.
Right.
Because that's all I could look at from behind was her exposed back.
It took away from the design for me. For me, it was the front and how she just looked like she was wearing... It just looked very matronly. Like, there was nothing interesting about it. It was just fabric kind of hiding her body. It's like, where is the design?
And I think she knew that was coming because she kept saying that. She's like, she knew exactly what was the judges were going to come for her. But, you know, limited amount of time.
You live and you learn.
You live and you learn. Yep. But, all right, so the judges disagreed with us. They chose Jamal as the top and Sonia the bottom. So sad.
That was hard.
How do we feel about Jamal and how do we feel about Sonia? They said this was their most challenging deliberation yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When it came down to the bottom, it was between Sonia and Bishme, and it was by only half a point. That has to sting a little bit.
It's hard because I like both Bishme and Sonia. So I can only imagine what the judges were going through.
Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, both pieces didn't look terrible to me.
No, everyone's so good at this point. Yeah, everyone's so talented.
Really did a good job with this challenge. Of course, there were some hiccups, but
obvious garment
there was
to go
no
home
failure.
For me. Yeah.
And I love the plum color. I like the slit. And I'm curious how the outfit would have looked with the kimono, because I know she was bummed that she couldn't make it, but then she was like, actually, no, I think
I know how sad
looks
she was
better.
Like, I'll save it for next week.
Yeah.
I wish and she could have.
I wanted to see more of her, and I mean, we still will see more of her. She is a designer regardless, but it would have been great to see her continue. So that sucked a lot. And I mean, I thought the dress was pretty.
Yeah, even the judges said it's really well made. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with it, but there just isn't that oomph that they were looking for. On the other hand, Jamal, he went literally from the bottom to the top within a week.
Mm-hmm.
And
0 to 100.
Yeah,
real fast.
He was really finding himself this week. And Brandon made me laugh so hard. He said, I love watching these young people find themselves, and then I'm just like the gray-haired folk clapping for them. I loved that.
Oh, he's the grandpa of the group. Well, not the group, but he's the veteran.
Do you feel like it's Jamal's time? Or, like, what do you... I don't know.
I was just
happy. Is it just a good week?
I'm going to say it's his time and it was a good week. Because this is a show where you're going to have growing pains. And he's the youngest of the group. And he's been doing it for the least amount of time. So he is still finding himself. And this is a very unconventional atmosphere, regardless of whether you're great or not. It's... a lot of pressure. So he's had a hard couple of times, but I'm happy that he listened to Christian this time. Because in the past episodes, he hasn't listened to Christian.
See what happens
there?
And
then things don't pan out so well. Mm-hmm. And his initial design, Christian was like, no. And he kind of just, he went with the flow a little bit more. Listen to your gut, listen to advice and counsel around you.
Yep.
And he won.
Would y'all look at that?
Look at that.
Isn't that funny how that works? All right, well, since we've been talking about these outfits so much, we might as well dive into our special segment, Le Caption Police. Ooh. That's me hitting that pose right there. So the outfit we're pulling from today is Layla's, who we both chose as our top look of the week.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? That was like a weird sound effect.
Yeah.
Give me a caption for this guy.
You can go first because I don't have one yet.
I'm going to say, hold up, like Beyonce, like hold up, they don't love me like I love you, slow down, they don't love me like, actually, okay, I don't know if this would be my caption, but like, if this was on my Instagram story and you know the feature where you can add a song, I guess that would be the song that I would add. So on my story, it would be like this picture and then, hold up, they don't love me like I love you, slow down, they don't love me. I don't know, it fits. Oh,
I like that. Yeah, I honestly don't even have a caption for this. It's just like, maybe like, just effortless grace would be my caption, maybe.
Effortless grace.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, it's very not forcing it, still sexy because we see that clavicle, we see the shoulder.
Yes, but love a good clavicle.
Yeah, nice clavicle.
You're right. This is a great combination of both elegant and sexy. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, exactly. And just, man, that tissue paper, awesome.
We love it.
Or toilet paper.
We love it. Now let's dive into some news and gossip.
News and gossip.
Some hot, juicy news and gossip.
TV news.
So our lovely host, Mr. Brandon Maxwell, had an interview with Entertainment Tonight, just speaking on his experience. This is his first time being a judge. And he said the hardest part about being a judge is obviously sending them home. And it's kind of like Devil Wears Prada when you tell the one girl she can't go to Paris, because you see these designers grow and get out of their comfort zone, and then to say goodbye is really difficult. But then he also said something that he loves is seeing models on the runway and their personalities coming out and them being able to really be themselves through designs. So that's kind of, that was his piece on that. And then Bishmi had an interview with Essence, and he talked about his experience being a designer. And they asked him how, like, when did he know that he wanted to be a designer? And
which
he,
is something I asked a couple episodes back. I'm genuinely curious what he had to say.
And he said he kind of, like, always knew that's what he wanted to do. He just wasn't sure of someone like him from his background, because he's from Baltimore, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he just probably wasn't used to seeing people come from that world. So he wasn't sure if it was possible. But now look at him. He's, by the way, he's designed for a lot of cool people. I want to give them a shout out. He's designed for Niecy Nash, Andra Day, Eva Marcel, Fantasia, Mel B, Her, Jill Scott. Yes,
that's a hell of a resume right there.
I didn't know he had all those credits, but he did say Beyonce is his goal. He would know that he made it. And Rihanna, he would love to design.
Setting
Rihanna
the bar
well.
High, but I love it.
It's going to happen. And Beyonce's very, she's an advocate for supporting black designers, black artists, just black creatives in general. So I know if that opportunity ever did come up, Beyonce would open
the door
with open arms.
That is so exciting. Wow, yeah. I'm really proud of him. He's off to a really great start.
And he's from Maryland, so I got to support my Maryland people.
I'm excited. I like Bishmi a lot. He brings a lot to the show. We almost lost him this week.
We did, and it was hard either way, because I love both of them. But he's still here.
We still got him. One more week, which brings me to our AfterBuzz prediction.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Oh boy, we're really getting down to the wire. We have 9 contestants left. Are you getting to a point where you could possibly pick a winner?
Ooh, that's hard. Okay, maybe not a winner, but I will pick like a bottom three.
Okay.
Sebastian, for sure.
In the bottom three?
No, top. I'm sorry, top three.
Okay, top three.
Did I say bottom?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
It's late. I gotcha. It's okay.
Okay, so Sebastian.
Okay.
I really think Layla, because Layla is consistent.
Yep,
and
I agree.
She's one of the few people who doesn't have mishaps. Like, her stuff is always together.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to go with potentially Hester.
That's, I think I might have the same top three.
Oh, wow. Really?
I know, that's weird. I know, everyone, like, gets on us because we agree too much. But sorry, guys. I think that Hester has, like, that quirky factor.
Mm-hmm.
Sebastian has the the skill.
Mm-hmm.
He's really clean in his work, and I think Layla has like the calm.
Yeah, the temperament.
She has like the temperament for it. She never gets flapped in the workroom. She's really like even keel.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of like the boom, boom, boom. It's like the three
perfect trifecta
to being a great designer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they could just like mesh.
All those qualities.
What's it in Freaky Friday where they just like, a jolt. Oh, yeah. They're like, we need to a jolt. If they could just run full speed, they would probably give birth to Brandon Maxwell.
Oh, wow.
Or Christian Siriano.
Ooh, either of those.
You know?
Christian Siriano. Any of the greats. Combined. Yeah.
Any other predictions?
That's my top three. So we'll see what happens, who surprises us next episode. I do hope that Jamal will take advantage of this win and continue to channel his success and keep going and not doubt himself, but also listen. Have humility. I think he needs to learn to humble himself, which he did in this episode.
Yeah. I think that'll take you a long way.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I have a similar top three, and I kind of hope we see some more of a little more of Garo. I think he has a cool storyline. He's a veteran. He's got some stuff to give. And a little bit more of Benny. Just some of the characters, cast members. All right.
Or contestants.
Contestants that we don't get to see as much of. I want to get to know everybody.
I know.
Because I've gotten to know and love everyone.
Right.
They're all great.
We see a lot of Bishmi, Venny, because they're very entertaining. They're great TV. Tessa, and how can you forget Hester? But
yeah, I just want to know everybody.
I know.
And if any of the other contestants watched the show, it was so cool to hear from Sonia. And
excited.
We look forward to
having you
here on F the Buzz TV. That's it this week, guys. We'll be back next week for episode 8. We're already halfway through the show.
Wow.
What the
crazy.
Heck?
Crazy. Time's flying.
Thank you, guys.
Thank
See you next
you.
Week.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.